Good afternoon, everyone. It's Joe Varnador. Welcome to the Thursday afternoon performing loan call. We've got Mr. Matt Edwards on the call as well today, helping us out and running the boards there. So how are you, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. So you're in...
What was that you called your weather in Denver there, buddy?
I think I said it's bipolar.
Bipolar weather, because it's snowing one day and 70 the next. So, yeah, I think that's a good analogy. All right, we've got some great content today, so let's just go ahead and get into it. I think we've got Mr. Dave up first here. So, good morning. It's not morning in Arizona anymore. I guess it still is, isn't it? I'm bipolar as well. So.
Yeah. It's 10 o'clock here.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I was going to correct you on what time it was in your city there, Dave.
Right.
So what do you have going on? It's always something interesting, for sure. And I was reading through your question. I wasn't disappointed.
I think it's going to be a good learning experience for me and for several people on the call. This is a local note here in Phoenix. It was...
So let's talk, yeah, go ahead. Talk about it.
Okay. It was originated back in 14, so it's got some reasonable seasoning, but there's a lot of hair. This is a combination of performing, sub-performing, and potentially non-performing, and I'm not sure how it's going to go. But it was a wrap on a hard loan, hard money. The seller and the original lender got into a little discussion about how the insurance policies were going to be written. So therefore, the original lender said, I'm going to stop taking payments unless you get this cleaned up under foreclose. So that trustee sale set for the end of April.
Okay.
In the meantime, and it's being serviced by Stewart Title, so that's all good. So
right.
Stewart Title is holding all of the payments that the payer has been making. Now, as you go through...
How many months? Just the last 6 months?
I'm sorry?
How long have they been holding the payments? Has it been since for 6 months?
I think there's probably 5 months there, maybe 6 months there. I haven't gotten into that much because the sale's only a month away. So it's going to be 5 or 6 months that they're holding.
Right.
So to that point, though, the payers, the first 3 months, they paid within 30 days, but they were right on the edge, and they were assessed the late payment fee. The last three months, they were late because they're, I think, kind of scared about what's going on. They've been late the same way.
Right.
Insurance. Well, go ahead.
First off, did they get their insurance issues taken care of?
No. So they haven't. So that's why the underlying mortgage is foreclosing.
Okay. So there's nobody has put forced place insurance on this property?
No, there is insurance on there, but it's just not written the way that the underlying mortgage party wants to see it. So whatever that is, I don't know. Go ahead.
Anyway, Dave, this goes back to about a month ago with the deal we were talking about. I think it was on a Monday call. You know, if you're going to do a wrap contract or a wrap land contract, certainly it's going to have to be done where the property is insured with the property owner's name on it, and then you've got the first lien holder as first loss payee, and then the second lien holder on the wrap part of that as the next in line as far as loss payee. So people try to keep that in their name, and that's just, you know, I think Ryan Parsons kind of pointed out to us that, you know, there's an uninsurable interest there, and then that's bad for everybody because they're just not going to pay. The insurance company is just not going to pay off. So,
right, and I remember that call. I was on that call.
Exactly.
Now the other hair in this deal is that there is a balloon due August of 19.
Right.
Now, the note seller is an LLC. He says this is the only seller carry he's ever done. It is, it isn't, I don't know.
Right.
So the question really gets down to how do I price this out? I mean, the interest rate, the overall note interest rate is 8.5%, which is good. Everything else, all the docs look fine. Values are there. Go ahead.
146 remaining payments. So, yeah, I mean, all of that looks good. Here's the question, though. So, is your plan to go in and pay off this underlying first, or are you trying to flip this out for enough to pay off the underlying first and then keep some back-end payments?
My goal is to give the note seller 45 grand, 50 grand, whatever it is, so that the underlying mortgage is paid off, the note seller gets his money, I own the note, and then resell it.
Gotcha. Okay, so, and you know that you'll probably need to hold this for a few, you know, and season it so that it's encourage the borrowers to make their payments on time for 6 months and then 3 to 6 months and then resell a partial on this is what I'm thinking you're going to do, right?
I don't know. I might just want to sell the whole note because the UPB 65, if I'm getting it for 45 or so or 50, there's a pretty good spread there. I might just take that and go. That's to be determined.
The other part of that slide down. So the value on this is what's the total unpaid balance on the loan, on the wrap loan? Is it
65,708 or thereabouts?
66. Okay, I see it there. You got 66.
66.
And the property's worth over 100.
It is. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you're good as far as that goes, and then yeah, that's what I was concerned about, because the way I read it was like you were going to try to take, you know, just kind of hold on to that or leave that underlying first in place, and you're probably going to have to. So your goal is to immediately pay off that, have the borrower pay off, or the lender, so to speak, the wrap owner, pay off that underlying first and walk away with his $10,000, right?
You have to because of the trustee sale coming up.
Coming up in 45 days or something like, or less than 30 days, or 30 days. Yeah, sure. Okay, so yeah, that there's nothing wrong with that. So, as far as pricing this note, we have a pretty good idea that the borrower is not going to be able to refinance this loan when the time comes. So the only way that I would price this, Dave, is to price it as if the balloon doesn't exist.
Okay. Because it's relatively simple to take away the balloon. Just say, okay, we're going to modify it. You don't have to worry about it.
Yes, and there wouldn't be a Dodd-Frank issue there because, you know, again, you're modifying it. You're taking that balloon out of it, and you're just extending it to term. And there's still only 146 total remaining payments if you took the balloon out of the loan, right?
Correct.
So the term is relatively short. So we've got about 12 years of payments or so. So yeah, that's the way I would price it. That's the only way I would price it. As far as your required yield, I don't know. What are you going to reprice it at? 14 or so?
I was going to price it at 15.
Go ahead.
I was going to price it at 15%.
Okay.
On my yield.
Hey Matt. Turn the screen over to me for just a second, and we'll kind of look at some pricing options there, Dave.
Okay.
So, Matt, do you have the numbers there in front of you? So I can do these first ones. So let's just say it's worth 110, and we'll go here. And the sales price, was it $80,000 or something like that?
$78,000, whatever.
What was the beginning balance on the loan?
Was 72,000.
Put down
7,500 bucks, so whatever.
It's close, right. Close, yeah, we can get pretty close. And so the interest rate is 8.5?
Yep. Term was 166 months.
And so it's 166. And the monthly payment?
Came out to 724.14.
And that's PI, principal and interest, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Payments made 20.
Payments made 20, and we've got 146 remaining.
Right.
Six. Okay, and what is the UPB?
66,935.86 per the servicer.
66,935.
66,935.
Okay. Let me do this for the education of our new folks on the call today. So guys, this property sold back 20 months ago for around $80,000, and the when the seller sold this property, the seller still owed $40,000 or so on a loan with a lender.
Actually, Joe, he owed 30 at the time. That was the hard money loan.
Okay, so there was a $30,000 underlying lien. So he did what is called a wraparound land contract. So he created a new note for $72,000. And the $30,000 underlying lien that was owed to another lender, that is included in that $70,000. So, what the loan that the lender owns then is the difference between the $30,000 and the $72,000, which is what $42,000. So lender on the wrap contract, receives his $724 monthly payment, or the servicer receives it, he sends the lender, the underlying lien holder, the payment that they're owed, and then he keeps the difference. And typically these are done with a balloon in place. And in this case, it was a five-year balloon, Dave?
Yes.
It was a five-year balloon. So they amortized the loan as if it would pay off in 166 months. But the borrower at the end of 60 months has to go out and refinance this loan or this loan on this property so that the underlying first can be paid off and the seller on this, the note holder, can then cash themselves out as well. So that's all well and good if there is a good indication that the borrowers will be able to take out or refinance that lien when it balloons here in what, a little about 3 years, Dave?
Yeah, that's correct.
So
three and a half, yes.
If it were going to balloon in 3 years, or the borrowers would have to go out and refinance this, the value of the loan or the discount on the loan when we buy that would be a lot less than it would be if at the time there was, 106 payments left. So we know that most likely these folks aren't going to be able to go out and take this loan out. So what we're going to do is we're just going to price this based on the fact that we're going to have to own it, or whomever Dave sells it to in this case is going to have to own it to term. So that's the reason that I said, okay, we're going to just forget about the balloon. The balloon is not going to matter. We're most likely going to have to just modify this and take the balloon out and just let them continue to make the payments until this pays off in 146 months. And Dave, what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't modify this immediately. I would let whomever it is you sell it to modify it.
Oh, okay. Why do you say that?
I mean, we don't know that in 36 months these folks that own this property, they could, you know, their credit could increase, and we don't know that their credit is horrible. We just know that most likely this thing started going south pretty quickly, and they just decided we're going to kind of put the brakes on our payments because we don't know really what's going on, and we can't get the insurance right. So it could be they have great credit, and they will be able to refinance this, Dave. So
okay.
I'd let whomever it is you sell it to modify it for these folks, okay? Because if they know, if there's a little bit of pressure that they can refinance this, then I would leave it, and if you were to end up owning this, you know, for the remaining term, or till it, or you couldn't sell it, or something like that, you would still send them their, you know, their letter, either probably 6 months out, saying your balloon is, or your loan is due to come due in 6 months. So just wanted to let you know that you need to be seeking additional or another lender to refinance this loan with it, with, because you're going to have to pay this off. And then let them work on it. And, you know, if that were the case and they could do that, whomever it is that owns this is going to get a lot of bonus yield there.
Right. Right.
But
okay.
The only way I would price it would be, we know that there's probably about a 10% chance that they could refinance this in 36 months, and there's about a 90% chance that they won't. So that's the way we have to price it, and that's the assumption that we need to make so that we don't get caught with our, you know, when the music stops. So
okay.
Basically, if we're going to purchase the whole thing, and we're going to do that at a 15 yield, looks like that's going to give them about $48,000 in as what you would write the check for, and I think that's more than you wanted to spend, wasn't it, Dave?
No, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's fine. I think if you look at if there's maybe $6,000 or $7,000 that the servicing company's holding,
right.
So that's 37, and then the foreclosure fees, that's 3, that's 40. He wanted to walk away with 10. So it's close, probably 46 maybe, to get us 10, you know, whatever. That would be fine.
And then if you sold this after, you're probably going to have to season it a bit, Dave.
Yeah.
If you sold it at an 8 yield, that'd be a nice payday for you if somebody would write you a check for $67,000, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Or if I sold it at 10, I'd still be making $12,000-$13,000 on it.
Yeah. So you would have almost $49,000 as a buy price, and then you would sell it at 61, and that would make perfect sense on that.
The numbers work all the way through.
Yeah,
now, because of all the hair on this show,
yep.
My gut is, after I sent the initial information to content, was that I probably should definitely close this through a title company. Would you agree?
Right. But you said, yeah, I would definitely close it. I would be talking to Stuart Title. The lender advised or told Stuart Title to hold those payments and not credit them to the account, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is the same thing that we talk about, when I'm talking with people about non-performing loans. And you know, you hear somebody say, well, I haven't made a payment in a month or in 6 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years. And this goes right back to the fact that the lenders will accept the payments sometime. In this case, they did, but they threw them into a separate account so that, you know, they really are showing that they're in default. And lenders just don't want to collect those payments after you go past 90 days. They just want to leave it go, so they don't have to start all over with the process. So, Dave, that, I think this is it's not as hairy as you know, you would think. It's pretty straightforward when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
So, and you're going to be paying the underlying lien holder. They're going to get 100% of their money.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's fine if you approach it in that light. Even if this thing, you had to foreclose on it before you could sell the partial or sell the loan on it, you could certainly do very well on it if you've got 50 and you sell it for 100.
Well, yeah. another question, Joe. The payor always paid within 30 days, even though they were late. On many of the calls, you and Eddie have suggested that if they pay within 30 days, they're really not late. So,
yeah.
And clarify that for me.
They're late. You know, here's the thing: we know that if I'm selling houses and I'm selling them, you know, to homeowners out there, I've just always considered that if they pay their payment before the next payment is due, that it was on time, and you know as well that if you've got a loan with Bank of America and it's due on the 1st, it's past due on the 15th, and then, of course, they charge you a late fee if you pay after the 15th, and then you're not considered, it won't go against your credit report until it becomes 30 days past due. So yes. If I then make that payment on the 29th, I had to pay a late fee, but it won't go to the credit bureau that I was 30 days late, because I wasn't 30 days late. I did pay it within that period of time. So if they're paying within 30 days, it's due on the 1st, and they pay it before the next payment is due on the 1st, it's pretty much on time. And in the seller finance world, I think that's entirely true.
So then you'd call this a performing, not a sub-performing note.
If it goes more than 30 days, then I would roll it over to the sub-performing side.
Okay.
But as long as they're paying between the first, before the next payment's due, I wouldn't consider it a sub-performing.
Okay, good deal. I know what the other question was. Is you were first suggesting, you said, are you going to do this at 14 or 15%? You said 14%. If you were doing this deal yourself, would you be quoting at 14 or at 15?
I would go right where you did. I'd start out a little high.
Okay.
You had to drop it. You're still fine, and that's just the way I've always done it. Because if anything you're selling, you have something that you'll take, and then you'll have you'd like to have, and then what you would take are two different things, and of course what you would like to collect and what you will collect is two different stories as well. So
got it. Yeah. Okay, that covers everything.
Yeah, very good, Dave. Just kind of stick around. Are you going to be on the call the rest of the call, or you got to run?
No, I'm going to be here. Go ahead.
Good deal. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, you've got it back, Matt. I see that Jackie has a question. Can I see the calculation for the monthly payment? Jackie, it could be a little bit off because of we just kind of use round numbers there, but it should be pretty close. And, hey, Dave, Andre Hawkins, he says, tell Dave to quit hogging everybody's time.
Hey, tell Andre, I've not had any questions on these calls for probably 3 weeks now.
That's right.
I've been on vacation, dude.
I know. Andre, he's getting a little cocky out there. He did say.
But where was Andre on Monday's call? You were missing content.
That's right. That's exactly right. He's got to get his story straight here, buddy. I'm telling you. So, Andre, I'm going to go through the rest of the stuff here for people that did send their content in on time, right, Dave? And then we'll get to Andre's question. Okay, what do we have up here next, Mr. Matt?
Up next, Roxanne, you have yourself muted, so if you'll unmute on your side, you'll be able to go ahead.
Hey, Matt, can you make that a little bit bigger?
A little bigger? Let's see. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, Roxanne, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Okay, so let's hear your question. I know we've got it here, but let's hear it in your words.
Okay.
I know those are your words as well. We want to talk about it. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I have a private lender who she's sophisticated in terms of she has loaned her money out many times, but just never for a note.
Right.
So she's feeling, I don't think I've explained things very well because this is the first time that I've used a private lender. So mm-hmm. the issue has become land contracts. She said, I'm pretty sure I screwed up by saying, well, because I didn't really understand that. Does every land contract, it does come with a note and a mortgage, correct?
It would be, you could do it. Sometimes the land contract is sufficient and there is not a note. Now, others will create a land contract with a note attached to it. So it can be done either way. One way is not correct and the other incorrect. It just really depends on who created it and what was kind of standard in the area in which it was created. Now, if we were buying land contracts in Ohio, most of those would not have a note attached. The land contracts that I've created in the past, I didn't do a note on those. It was strictly the land contract. It was the sole sole agreement contract between myself and my borrower. So it really depends on who creates them.
Okay. Well, her question consistently is, how is my money protected?
Okay. Good. Okay, so first of all, is she loaning out of her IRA?
Yes.
Okay.
So generally, you know, what she's used to is loaning her money to, she's got a couple of people that borrow her money for rehabs.
Right.
So she's used to, once that property is sold, then she gets her money back, and she charges like 8.5%.
Right. It's cheap. It's very cheap.
Well, she charges, I think, 13%. Sometimes she'll put herself in second position, but
right.
on first position, it's 8.5%.
Okay. So, and you know, just explain to her as well. I'm sure she's doing this. Is she doing this as simple interest? Or is she requiring that they make? I'm sure she's doing it. I'm going to loan you 10%, and at the end of the loan, you're going to pay me back whatever it was you borrowed. Plus 10% interest.
Initially we talked about that she charges, like, I would make interest only payments every month, you know, just to make sure that I'm paying, right? And then
right.
I haven't gotten
right.
into trouble.
And really, that's the best. If I were the lender, that would be the way that I would want to do it. I've priced loans in the past where you've got, there's just a yearly payment versus a monthly payment. For instance, it was on a farm, and the farmer sold his crops one time a year, so they wanted to make an annual payment on that. And here's the problem: when you're getting a payment every month, you know you're in trouble if you didn't receive that payment. If you're getting an annual payment or the payment at the end, you don't know you're in trouble until that payment comes due, 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 months later. So anyway, I would suggest that I would just tell her that you would prefer to do that. Now, there may be some confusion, as we've talked about in several of the previous calls, that she'll look at this and she'll look at simple interest versus an amortized loan. But I think what you're looking to do is you're looking to borrow money from her in order to buy notes. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's perfect for you. That's perfect for her. Here's the thing: she's going, whatever her custodian is comfortable with as far as the loan docs, then that's what she needs to go with. I mean, you'll go with whatever her custodian requires. The other part of that is she's wondering is how am I protected? And obviously, you're buying the note, so you could use that. You can collateralize that note as her security against that. But remember that it's not real property. You're buying the note. You're not buying the property. So once you buy the note and start your workout process, you may end up with the house, or you may end up with a reperforming note. And if you end up with a reperforming note, that may be something that she wants to hold on to in her, you know, you'll sell to her in her IRA. Does that make sense? If she wanted to keep that cash flow for long term.
Well, I think that's probably where my confusion comes in. And I think I have not adequately explained to her, you know, Because let me go back. There is, I do have all the criteria. She's in the iPlan group, and she actually sent me all the docs that she would need. So if I'm buying the note, and it's backed by the real estate, correct? Is this technically an unsecured loan for her on her end?
Okay, so here, let me just back up one step, and if she's loaning to a rehabber guy, when she writes the check, she'll have the deed, okay?
Yeah.
So that's her security, and I'm sure her iPlan wants to hold that in trust for her. So in this case, she's lending on the note or on the paperwork, so there isn't a deed for you to have that you're going to have right now. I mean, her collateral would then be A, that she could go after the property if you weren't able to work out the deal. So, you know, once you buy this, then what you need to explain to her is we're buying the paper. We're not buying the property. We may end up with the paper, and our stats show that about 60% of the time we will end up with the property, which means we'll end up with the deed to the house and we will own the house. But 40% of the time, there's a very good possibility that we will be able to modify the loan for this borrower and keep them in the house. What the key is here, Roxanne, is that we're buying this at such a huge discount based on buying it at 20, 25, 30% of asset value versus her loan. Versus she's making a hard money loan where the loan to value is somewhere probably in the 60 to 70% range. But her return is going to be much higher as well. So here's the way I would sit her down and explain this. And I would say, look, what we're doing is we're buying the paper. Once we buy the non-performing loan, you become the lender. Okay, Roxanne, you're the lender / she can be your co-lender if that's what it works out to be. And when the bottom line is the promissory note is her collateral on this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the promissory note, Joe. So initially, I was sort of. Should I be buying a performing note, or do you think I should be buying a non-performing note?
Well, I would explain both to her and give her the option. So let's talk about your exit strategy and how you plan to pay her back. If you're buying a performing loan, for instance, you're buying a performing loan from Colonial, and you're buying that at a 13-14% return. So what is your exit strategy? Because when you're buying that loan, it may have 146 payments remaining on it, and so it's a long-term hold. Now, once you've bought that performing loan, and you may want to then sell a partial on that loan so that you can recoup her investment and pay her off, and you own the back end of that loan. And then you could certainly want to price those loans or look at the ones that are available and price those based on the fact that you can sell those. If she's looking for an 8 or 9% long-term return, then you can sell the partial and pay her off, keep some of the back-end payments, and most likely you can put a little money in your pocket as well. Is that your thought process?
Yes.
And is that the way you explain that to her?
Yeah, well, then I think I probably mixed up my words, because when I sort of been extracting a little bit from Ryan's things, and when you talk about mailbox money, well, she goes, well, I would love to have mailbox money. And then I think that's where I sort of got things really.
Okay. So let's step back one more time here.
Okay.
So there's two types of loans. We know there's performing loans and non-performing loans. The question you need to ask of her is, how long does she want her money invested in a given investment? So would she want a mailbox money, for instance, of a 60 payment partial? Are you on the back end? So if she doesn't want to have to loan her money out where she's always turning it over, she's loaning it out for 6 months, she's getting it back, and then, you know, she's got to go back and forth and keep investing it, or does she want something that's a little more long term where she can plug it into an investment for 60 to 72 months, or, you know, 5 to 6 years, where she won't have to go back out and redeploy her capital every time that one of her borrowers, rehabber borrowers, borrows that money and repays her within, say, 6 months. So that's the question. And if she's typically getting an 8.5% return on the investment, then you offer her a little higher than that. Maybe it's a 9.5% return, and she doesn't have to redeploy that capital every 6 to 8 to 12 months, whatever the normal term is for her hard money loans that she's doing.
Well, she did say that she was willing to loan it to me for 5 years.
Okay, cool. So here's what I would do, though, Roxanne. I don't know that. I mean, you can play that arbitrage game, you know, where you're just trading money. But I think what I would do if I were you is I would look for notes, you know, from Colonial that you can buy, that you can sell her a partial, where you can get enough to pay for the loan. That would then pay her original investment back, and then sell her a partial. Follow me?
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I did think about that, but I think I was just going. My brain just went catwalk.
Well, just kind of step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, let's just talk with her about performing loans, where you're going to go out. You can show her that there's what the loan is, and you can show her the pay history. You can show her that, you know, it's a verifiable pay history. You're going to buy this loan. And then you're going to, and it doesn't matter what you're paying. Well, she'll know what you're paying for it, but what she won't know is how the partial, when you sell her the partial as a long-term investment, you know, she just knows she's getting mailbox money at that time.
Okay.
So let's just kind of walk through it one more time so that everybody gets it. So you buy a note from Colonial, and she writes the check. So you're going to pay her whatever your monthly interest-only payment on the, so let's say it's a $35,000 check that she writes out of her IRA. So you're going to pay her whatever it is. If it's 1% a month, what is that? $350 a month in interest only. So that'll give you time to buy the loan and then to source an investor to sell the partial to. So she's still going to get her mailbox money. But then from you, but then when you sell the partial, then she'll have long-term mailbox money for, say, 5 years. So there's some moving pieces to that, but it's not really complicated. You just need to kind of think about what I just said.
Okay. Well, I would sell that partial to another investor, not to her.
You could sell it to her. You could sell it to her if she wanted to do that.
I think that's what she wants.
Another investor.
I think she wants me to sell it to her because she wants kind of skin in the game, because she knows that I have the back end that I'm going to, you know, plus just being ethically, you know, on target, I would always be making sure.
Just clear with everybody that you deal with. And there's,
yes.
People don't care if you make money, okay? As long as you're clear with them is how you do that. And if they do care that you're making money, then you just need to move on.
Yeah. Well, but Joe, like, how do I make money in the spread? Like, how do I kind of make money?
Well, here's the thing. If you're selling her, what you've got to do is you've got to buy the note and then sell the partial. Or if you're going to hold it to term, see, what she doesn't really want to do, I don't believe, for instance, this loan we just looked at with Dave. Okay, so there was 146 payments left, and he could buy that for $48,000. Now, you can buy it for what he's going to do is he's buying that loan for $148,000. Then he's going to sell a full on that loan to somebody else at a 9 or 10% yield, and he's going to keep the $12,000 in between what he's buying there.
Mm-hmm.
But do you follow me?
Yeah.
So now she's going to be, if you're, you know, completely full disclosure with her, she's going to see that transaction, and she's going to see the difference that you're going to make, and she should be okay with that. If she's not, what you could do is you'll sell it to her at a higher rate of return, and you would make less money. So let's say you sold it to her at a 12, and you made $6,000, but that was your fee for putting that together. And there's no nothing wrong with making a fee and giving her a great return. You follow me?
Yeah.
But she's going to know what that is, but that's okay. You know, people get so strung up around the wheel saying that, oh, God, they're going to think I'm making some money. Well, yeah, that's why you're doing this, to make the money. You've invested in specialized knowledge to be able to do this. So, yeah, you deserve to make the money. If she's making a 10% safe return on her investment that she's used to making 8% on, I think she would be, you know, willing to dance around the room and not have to redeploy that capital every 3, 6, 9, 12 months. Make sense?
Yeah, but so I would still borrow her money to buy the note,
exactly.
And then turn around and then sell her a partial.
You could sell her a partial, or you could sell her the entire note.
Okay. I think she doesn't necessarily have the sophistication. She doesn't want to deal with you, which you could have problems, you know, when borrowers quit paying. Okay, so I will definitely take that into consideration. When I looked at the performing, I did look at a performing note in Monmouth, Illinois, and under the pay history, it just had his credit history. I couldn't find a pay history, so what I asked the trade desk to
The trade desk. Yeah, this would be a pre-deal, so you would. It would just be tradedesk@colonialfundinggroup.com. And again, okay. if it's a question after you've bought the asset, it's, what is it, Matt? Post-closing@colonialfundinggroup.com?
Correct. Post-closing@colonialfundinggroup.com.
Yes. Anything prior to you wiring your money, you're going to go with tradedesk@colonialfundinggroup.com.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate it.
Very good. Okay, and just kind of sit down and digest what we've talked about, and then kind of clear your mind up and say, okay, you know, right now don't talk to her about performing non-performing loans. Let's just stick to performing loans with your investor. The other thing is you know, as long as she's getting a good rate of return over a period of time, you can share with her what you're doing. Okay, you've got the inventory, you've got the knowledge, and you're partnering with somebody that has cash, that wants a fair rate of return of somewhere between 8% and 10%, and just be honest with the person. If she's real, it'll be okay.
Yeah, and I think she is, and I would buy that in my entity, right, in my LLC.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Okay.
Or you would own the back end in that. Okay, very good. Let us know how this turns out, Roxanne.
I will. Thanks a lot, Joe.
You're very welcome. Okay, and Sylvia did make Sylvia Hofstadter did make a good point to that, and it was that if you've got the deed of trust, if it's a land contract that you've bought, the lender or the person that you're buying it from has the deed to the property. So in that case, it would be the deed would be there for collateral, the deed to the property. So, yep, very good. Okay, so let's see. Mark Bruce signs a note from Colonial priced at 32 that she can sell at a partial yield for 9.5% for $35,000. Her investor can fund the purchase price from Colonial, and she can take the $3,000 spread. That's exactly right, Mark. She sure can. She can take a spread, and she can own the back end payments as well. So that's where, you know, using that calculator, that's where using that Matt was showing you on Monday night, using that calculator, that's how you can figure that out if you just kind of back yourself into it and work through it. But yes, that's exactly right. Claudia says, so with Roxanne's lender, she lends the total purchase price, then also pays for the partial. So Roxanne pays her interest on the loan for the total. So the lender has put out more than $35,000 and pays for the partial. Now, what I was talking about is funding the entire purchase, and Roxanne would pay her interest only on that for 30 days or 60 days or whatever that is. sells her the partial, sells her lender the partial, and for, say, 60 months or whatever it is, takes a fee in between for doing that and then owns the back end of the payments. Or, as I said to Roxanne just then, if this lady is truly wanting to just make a better return on her money and not have to manage a rehabber to make sure she's going to get her money back, they could simply partner together and split these profits. They could sell the partials to somebody else. They could do whatever they wanted to on this. So, Roxanne, I think you've got a great opportunity here with this investor. You just need to cultivate it a little bit more and go through that process. All right? Okay, Matt, what do we have next there, my friend?
Up next is Tracy. And, Tracy, I have you unmuted if you want to go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Tracy, how you doing? I'm sorry?
How you doing, Tracy?
We're doing good. I actually have my husband is here with me, so you'll hear him also.
Very good. What's your husband's name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing good. I just found out today, I came back from the doctor, I have the flu.
You got the flu?
Yeah. Aren't you glad we're only on phone and you can't see him?
Well, we'll say a little prayer for you. All right, so what do we have going on here?
All right, so what we have is a property that we've been landlording for some time now. In the fall, around October, we put a new tenant in it. And when they came in, they said, you know, we'd like to buy this. And I said, well, okay, let's talk about it in the spring. So here we are, it's spring. I just talked to them this week. They still are interested in purchasing it. We're interested in selling it to them. But I don't know that they'll qualify for a hard money lender. And so we said, well, being fairly new to all of this, when we talked to Ben on Sunday, that's my greatest reference, is that he said, well, maybe you could look at seller financing. And I understand from the concept, like, we would finance them, but our situation is that we want to sell the house. In other words, we would like to obtain the equity and then let them pay somebody else. So the logic to me would be to find an investor who would be interested in, you know, buying the note and setting up the mortgage and taking their payments, if that makes any sense at all.
I understand what your goal is here. So you say the house is valued at about $390,000 to $400,000. What do you guys have in the house? What's your equity?
Equity
about $130,000.
And you've got a long term loan on this with a regular lender, or you've got a
yes, okay. You're correct.
Okay, so you know there's a couple of ways you could do this. One, as Ben suggested, you could note yourself out of this. So if they can't qualify, now of course the best case scenario is for them to go out and seek a lender that will loan them the money to buy this house.
Right.
Now, do you have any idea what their credit situation is?
I understand that it's good. When we looked at it in October, it was outstanding.
Okay.
So I can't give you the score. I think you asked me, and I was like, I couldn't find the data to get show me the score. So,
and are they paying the rent on time?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And what is – okay, so here's a couple of things we could do. Of course, that would be a great scenario. They could go out. You could incentivize them to do that. And they could make that happen.
Right.
Most of the time these days, it's not so much the credit score, it's more the debt-to-income ratio
that
they have to fall into, and that's where a lot of borrowers drop out. They have good credit, it's just their debt-to-income ratio is just out of whack, and they just can't qualify based on that.
Right.
So the other possibility is we could do a wraparound land contract. So I'm assuming you guys owe somewhere around $270,000 on this house.
Yes.
Long term is 30-year loan.
Yes.
Okay. So you owe $270,000 on this, and you could do a wrap contract on this where you would, let's say you sold it to them for $400,000. Do you know what kind of down payment they have?
No, I don't. I asked them after you asked me today because I hadn't really put that to them as of yet. But I put it out today, but I haven't gotten a response back from them yet.
You know, on this price house, Tracy, Mike, I wouldn't take any less than $50,000 down.
Right.
So if you sold it to them for $400 with $50 down, you have a $350,000 wraparound land contract, and what you still owe the lender $270. What's your interest rate on this?
Is it 5.2, I think it is.
5.2, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's around 5%. You sell it to your borrowers through a $350,000 loan at 7.5-8%, and you do it for 30 years with a 5-year balloon, which would be okay if their credit is okay.
Right.
So what that would get you, that wouldn't get you your entire, wouldn't get you your entire equity back out of that, but whatever you got as a down payment on that, that's money you would put in your pocket. So you'd walk away $50,000 and the monthly payment. Now, since they're going to live in this house, you've got to be concerned with it's going to be a consumer loan, so you're going to have to qualify them. So, and use an RMLO. And the biggest part of that, to be SAFE Act compliant using this RMLO, is could they afford the monthly payment and still fit in within that 43 to 45% debt to income ratio that is required out there. So you need to find out, when you rented it to them, you probably should have checked their credit.
Right.
A professional rental agency would have done that, and it would have been okay for you to do that as well.
Right.
So really, if you want to consider doing this, you could go ahead and have somebody like Pat Bilheimer, who is an RMLO that works all over the United States. She's out of Phoenix, and you could, that's going to cost about $1,000, but you could have your borrowers pay that and see where they fit as far as credit and debt-to-income ratio.
Okay.
Now, what you would have, though, guys, what's your monthly payment on that loan?
$1,600,
and the taxes and insurance on this, insurance is $866 a year, so you've got about another, $5,000, so you've got, another $420 a month or something like that. So you've got a little over $2,000 in that. And then the question is what would the PITI monthly payment be on a $350,000 loan at, say, 7 or 8%? So you would be making some positive cash flow. Now, was that $1,975 that you're renting it to, renting this property to them, is that something that they've made on time, or is this something that they dragged?
No, they paid on time.
Hold on just a second. Let me just calculate a payment here real quick. And just to kind of see what it looks like. $350. See, their monthly payment just on the loan would be at 8%, $350,000 for 30 years would be $2,568, plus another five. So it would be $3,000. So it would be $1,000 more a month than what they're paying now, but they would own the house.
Right.
So what you would be doing is your monthly payment is, how much did you say?
$1,600.
So you would be getting right at $1,000 a month in positive cash flow out of that as well. You see that?
Right.
So don't know if they can afford that, though.
Yeah, I think that would be the question.
So that's kind of what we're going to have to do. So either A, We're going to leave them in there as tenants. Go ahead and if they're making their monthly rental payments on time, then go ahead and document that as far as make yourself a very solid rental pay history on that, which they could take to the bank in say 3 or 4 or 5 more months, so that that would help them rebuild their case if they were real close on their debt to income or if their credit was a little bit iffy. And where is this property located, by the way? Where are?
In Sterling, Virginia.
In Virginia. Okay, cool. Okay. So that's that, you know, to note out of it, basically that's what I would look at doing. Or you could put it back on the market, leave them in it as a tenant. And, I mean, this wouldn't be a candidate for a 50-50 model, most likely because of, you know, $200,000 down and then a $200,000 short-term debt, short-term payment stream on that probably wouldn't work out. It just doesn't work out.
Yeah,
I know.
It's not.
This price range asset. But yeah. I would certainly look at doing a wraparound, but then putting a balloon in it as well. So your next step, then, your kind of take your takeaway here is to go ahead and make sure that and see what they can qualify for. Right. Or say, look, if you're serious, guys, go to your local lender and apply, and let's see where you are versus them having to, you know, go ahead and go to an RMLO on this.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, great. Thank you very much.
Very good. Okay, guys, keep us posted on this.
What do
we have, Matthew?
What's up now?
What do we have next?
Well, we can go back to Andre.
Let me do this real quick. Didn't we have, Dina had a quick question, and it won't take me but a second to answer that.
Completely forgot about that. Sorry about that.
That's all right. So is Dina, I think she's on the call, isn't she?
She is unmuted.
Hey, Dina, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Hey, just I know that you're in the beginning stages of this, and guys that are on the call, Dina, is this your apartment building, or are you helping someone else? Oh, it's your apartment building.
No, it's one of my investors.
One of your investors. So your question is, how does a commercial note differ from a residential? And really, Dina, it doesn't. It's not going to... not going to be that big of a deal. You still want to make sure with this one, since it's not wouldn't be a consumer loan. This would be an investor buying this apartment building. And how many units is it?
She didn't tell me. We're just kind of starting out this conversation. But she wants to probably they'll buy it through several investors, and then they'll create a note and pay those investors off.
Okay, so you know, it would be it's no different. You don't have to go through an RMLO, but
right.
what you want to make sure is that A, when they create this note, they do. This is going to be a most likely it'll be a whomever it is that buys this, is going to be they're going to buy it as an entity, an LLC, a trust, subchapter S or C corporation, whatever that is. The advice I would have would be to have the borrowers or that borrower on this sign a personal guarantee as well, since they are buying it inside of an entity. Number two, the interest rate on a commercial loan is going to be a little bit higher. And if you were to go out to a lender and borrow that, and I can tell you that in some instances, the maximum loan to value, not investment, but loan to value that lenders are willing to make on commercial properties right now is going to be somewhere between 50% and 60%. So what that is, if it sold for $500,000, they'd get a $350,000 loan and put down $150,000. So you know, the down payment needs to be a significant down payment. I know not selling it for $500,000 with $50,000 down. They need to get as much as they can possibly get, and this one certainly would do a balloon on. So you may amortize it for 20 and balloon it in 5. And there is not a challenge in the world with putting a balloon on a commercial loan.
What about doing partials on that? Are partials marketable on a note like that?
Yes, it is. As long as the note is created where it makes sense, just like if you were selling a $500,000 house with $5,000 down. Probably nobody would want a partial on that because they don't have any equity in it. But, I mean, so they sell it for $500,000 with $50,000 down. One of the other things you want to let them know as well, and any investor that, unless it was, you know, somebody that just didn't know, is going to make sure the financials work on this, meaning that they want to know that the monthly income is more than enough to pay the monthly payment, the taxes, the insurance. So they'll need to be need to make sure that there is sufficient income there as far as debt coverage ratio.
She's a smart cookie. She knows how to do her financials, so she's pretty smart. But what did you say the interest rates would be on a commercial loan like that?
Somewhere between, I wouldn't do it any less than, say, 8%. And if it can go a little higher, I mean, it may be, you know, with $50,000 down, we'll do 9%. With $75,000 down, we'll do 8%. Something like that. So just depending on what that looks like. But they need to have, the borrowers need to have some skin in the game. And then, you know, your partial investor, same deal. Just you'll sell a partial. And if you've got an investor looking for an 8% return, same type of deal. But do a 60-payment partial on it. Or in this case, since it's bigger dollars, they may do a 48-month partial. Whatever it is, whatever it looks like.
Right.
But let me just say this. One of the things you could do is, so you do a 20-year AM, but you balloon it in 5, so then you could sell the 5 years of payments and then keep the balloon. And you could do that as well.
Right.
In commercial loans, all commercial loans have, they're going to have a 3 to 5 year balloon. Okay? So if you went out and borrowed money for this particular commercial property, and you financed it with Wells Fargo or somebody like that, they'll amortize it for as many as 20 years, but they're going to put a 3 to 5 year balloon, meaning that the borrowers are going to have to go in every 3 to 5 years and renegotiate the terms of their agreement.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It just certainly does.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you.
Let us know what happens.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Let's go to Andre's question, and then we'll wrap it up. Matt?
I, for some reason, cannot unmute Andre.
Let me unmute John here. He's got a question. Hey, John, how you doing? John Ruderman, how you doing? Can you hear me? There's Andre. Let me see. Andre, have you muted yourself? We can't get you unmuted there, brother. Let me just go ahead and pop up Andre's question, and while he's figuring that out, we'll do that. Okay. Andre, let's see. Okay. Andre says, I bought a $147,000 unpaid balance from note from Colonial for $63,000. The discount was so great because the note interest rate was 3.8%. Okay, I resold this to an investor for $68,000 and will keep the last 75 payments. The note has 475 payments. Wow, it's a lot of payments out there. Do I use a partial sales agreement between myself and my investor to keep? Yes, it's going to be a partial agreement, Andre. Certainly, you will use the partial, and you'll go through that process. Does that make sense? If it does, type yes or no. While Andre's doing that, can I see the cow? Okay, so I've already taken care of that. I think we've got that question. Okay. Okay, so good. Andre, it makes sense. Excellent. So, yeah, you'll use the partial purchase agreement. And Andre wants me to tell Dave something. I hope it's something that I can say on air, Andre, to be nice. I'm just joking with you, man. You know I am. Okay, so Matt, what else do we have? And I'm sure he meant to say tell Andre hi, or tell Dave hi. There you go. All right, so Matt, let's wrap it up. What do you have there? Titanium Mastermind?
These
you haven't registered for that?
Sorry.
Do so?
Yes.
Okay, so guys, Titanium Mastermind is coming up in Dallas-Fort Worth the 14th, 15th, and 16th of April. They've got a bunch of great stuff planned for you, so if you haven't registered for that, make sure, and they can go to the website and do that, right, Matt?
That's correct, and they should have an email from, it should be from Eddie Speed. So.
Okay, so you'll have an email. You'll have an email from Eddie Speed. All right, there's my Eddie impersonation for today. Martha's Mastermind is coming up in April as well, so that will be on the website also. That is April 29th and 30th, and I think that's going to be down in Spanish River, correct, Matt?
Spanish Fort, yes.
Spanish Fort, there you go.
On the Red River.
What's that?
I said on the Red River.
On the river. Well, is there any water in the river right now? Can it actually be called a river?
They've had a pretty good bit of rain out in Texas, so I would say there is.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They have. The hog hunt is the end of this month, and you can get details on that on the website. And Summer Summit is coming up in June, and I know first week of June, and I know that Susan and everybody at the office, Bob and Eddie and everybody, are certainly in the process of making that a great event as well. All right, so, Matt, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the call. Everybody, thanks to everybody for being on the call today. We appreciate you, and Eddie will be back from Hawaii and do the call Monday evening, so you guys make sure and ask him for pictures, okay? Talk soon. Everybody have a great weekend. Bye-bye now. Thanks so much, Matt.
No problem. Thanks, Jay. Have a good one.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Skyler says bye as well.